আমার জীবন সদা পাপেরত নাহি কপুণ্যের লেশ। পরের উদ্বেগ দিয়াছি যে কত দিয়াছি জীবের ক্লেশ। নিজ সুখ লাগি ভাবে নাহি ডরি দয়াহীন স্বার্থ প। পর সুখে দুঃখী সদা মিতা ভাষী পর দুঃখ সুখ খ। অশেষ কামনা দে মাঝে ম খোধি দম্ভ পরায়ণ। মদমত সদা বিষয়ে মোহিত হিংসা গর্ব বিভূষণ। নিদ্রালস হত সুখার যে বিরত আখার যে উদ্যোগী আমি। প্রচেষ্টা লাগিয়া স্বার্থ আচরণ লোভ হত সদা কামি। এহেন দুর্জন সজ্জন বর্জিত অপরাধী শুভকার্য শূন্য সদানাথ মনা নানা দুঃখে জরজ। বার্ধকে এখন উপায় বিহীন তাতে দিন অকিঞ্চন। ভক্তি বিনোদ প্রভুর চরণে করে দুঃখ নিবেদন। নমো ভক্তি বিনোদায় সচ্চিদানন্দ নামিনে গৌর শক্তি স্বরূপায় রূপানুগভরায়তে। টুডে ইজ দি অস্পিশিয়াস anniversary of the auspicious appearance in this world of Satchidananda Premalankar Thakur Bhaktivinod. This world is by nature dark, inauspicious. The appearance in this world of the Lord and his devotees is the only thing that makes this world of any auspiciousness whatsoever. And of course, his devotees, his dhams, his holy names. Without Krishna consciousness, everything is black and useless, which we wouldn't know if it were not for that Krishna comes and his devotees come. Now, you may be surprised that I sung this song as if to give a biography of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Just a few days ago, during our Shravan Kirtan camp, on the occasion of Radhashtami, we sung 8 songs plus 1, Radhikashtakam, Radhashtakam of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda revealing his heart in his love for Srimati Radharani. Then why sing this song? Well, maybe I should explain what it means first of all. Probably most of you can't follow. So he sings, in my life, he's from the end of the song we can understand that he's writing this in his old age. In my life I've always been attached to sinful activities without even a trace of any piety. How much anxiety have I, how much anxiety and trouble have I given to other living beings? For the sake of my own happiness, I don't fear to do any sinful activity, completely devoid of any mercy, and simply interested in my own self-interest. I become unhappy at the happiness of others. I'm always telling lies and I take happiness in the distress of others. Unlimited desires are within my heart. I am by nature angry and haughty. All the time intoxicated by pride, illusioned by sense gratification, envious of others, and that means nasty towards others. My decorations, I'm decorated with nastiness toward others and pride. I'm stricken by sleep and laziness, devoid of any good activities, and always busy in doing things which shouldn't be done. For the sake of prestige, I do all kinds of cheating activities. Overcome, stricken by greed, I have so many desires. My heart is always full of desires. So such a rascal person I am, devoid of the association of any saintly people. I'm just all the time offensive. Devoid, again, he says, I'm devoid of any auspicious activities. There are always bad things in my mind, and I'm stricken with various miseries. Now, in old age, I have no means. I have no means either for happiness or to get out of this condition. Therefore, He says, only because of this, only because I've been put in this position, that I'm very feeling myself very lowly and without anything left in this world. Bhaktivinod, at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, offers his sadness. So he's saying that I'm only feeling lowly and helpless because I'm in this condition of being troubled by pain in my old age. I just got an email yesterday from a disciple of mine whose wife has some malignant form of cancer. He's just been diagnosed. He says, now she's becoming very serious about Krishna consciousness. Does it take that? So I said, good. I wrote back and said, good, good that your wife's becoming serious. She should preach to others not to wait for cancer or something similar to become serious. Now, why did I choose to sing this when we were singing Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs of praise for Radha? He reveals his real identity in other songs, particularly he states that I am Kamala Manjari, follower of Rupa Manjari, 12 and a half years old, his internal identity he gives. Why this? Bhaktivinoda Thakur is an acharya. He comes to teach. Should we actually think that this description fits him? No doubt he feels it himself. By yoga maya, we don't feel like, at least I don't feel like that. I think, well, I'm pretty good. Are we really so bad? Maybe in this life we haven't been this so bad. But certainly in some life we will have been. We go through so many births. Kabu Dev, Kabu Daita, Kabu Das Prabhu, Bhaktivinoda Thakur published Jagadananda Pandit's Prema Biborita, in which he examines the situation of the conditioned soul. Sometimes he's a god, sometimes he's a demon. Sometimes he's a servant, sometimes he's a master. And there are so many things. Kabu Sharge, Kabu Marte, Narake Ba Kabu. Sometimes he's in heaven, sometimes he's in hell, sometimes he's on earth. But even if we look at our mentality, the conditioned mentality, this, what Bhaktivinoda Thakur has described, summarizes it. It may be more gross in some case than others, but it summarizes the attitude of a conditioned soul. It's basically demoniac. I received another letter yesterday, or the day before, which I'll read. I was reading this, and I desperately want to know how I can reverse this. Quote, our material entanglement has begun from our offense to the Supreme Lord. Thus, the only way to liberate ourselves from this fallen condition is to remove this initial offense and try to invoke the mercy of the Supreme Lord. In this way, we can be released from illusion and earn back our pure spiritual identity. Please, Maharaj, guide me in the right direction so I can quickly implement what is needed. He's asking how I can reverse this. presumably asking about the offense to the Supreme Lord. Isn't that shocking? We're all here because of offense to the Supreme Lord. Well, that is, again, we find in the Prema Vivarta of Jagadananda. Krishna bahirmukha haya bhogavancha kare nikatasta mayatare japatiya dare. Because of becoming inimical to Krishna, we desire material enjoyment. And then Maya is just waiting to catch us, which she does. Which is another rendition of a similar verse, which we find in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is Krishna Bahirmukh. Krishna Bhuli Seji Vanadi Bahirmukh Ataiv Maya Tare Deya Shangshara Duk. Forgetting Krishna, from time immemorial, we are inimical to Krishna. Therefore, Maya gives us material misery. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching that we should be cognizant of our fallen position and regret it. There's a word in Sanskrit, Bengali for regret, anutap. Anu means following. One of the meanings of this prefix is following. And tapa means burning. It means heat, fire, burning. So if we feel regret after doing something wrong, that's called anutap. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, for our sake, pointing out that everything we're doing is wrong. Basically, our position is wrong in this material world. We're all offenders to Krishna. But there is a way out. We have to rectify the situation. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in this song which we just sung, Anadi Karma Phale, that is from his collection of songs known as Sharanagati, which means the way of taking shelter. Or Srila Prabhupada often translated this Sharana word as surrender, because we take shelter by surrendering to Krishna. In the famous verse, Saradhaman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. This is how Srila Prabhupada translates it. Sharan actually means shelter, so if we want to have a very little literal translation, we could say abandon all varieties of dharma and take shelter in me. But shelter requires full surrender. So Srila Prabhupada emphasizes this. So Sharanagati is the way of surrender. And we have several songs in the opening songs in the Sharanagati series of songs, 48 songs I believe it is, which are in a similar mood to this song. How Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing his life from a Krishna conscious point of view, but also seeing how he's wasting his life. He's as a child, he was a very dear child of his In the womb, he prayed to Krishna, I'll worship you. But then he came out of the womb and then he became an object of affection, adore chale. The boy who's an object of affection, and he goes through his life, how he played with other children, then he was studying, then he has another song, how in his youth he was very concerned about study. There's a whole song about his attitude toward mundane education. And they all come to the point that now I'm in old age and I'm helpless. There's nothing but your mercy. And in this, he sets the mood that if we are going to be Krishna conscious, first of all, we have to regret having been away from Krishna. And we have to fully surrender to Krishna. And then he takes us up through the various things we have to do. It's praying for mercy. We can find that prominent in all his songs, as we find in all the songs of the Vaishnava Acharyas, or it's a prominent theme. Praying for mercy, and then gradually comes to the point of pure devotion, entering the spiritual world. But the last two songs in this series, one is a song which is well known in ISKCON because it got into the original songbook. Although I don't know if many songs are well known nowadays because the devotees don't sing much, the bhajans, but Kobe Hobe Bolo Shedenama. How he's asking for his offenses to be cleared and then preach the holy name. And then the very last song, Krishna Naam Dhare Koto Bal. How much power does the holy name have? And he describes how his experience, there are many songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We can find from his songs his deep love for Radha is one. Amito Radhika Pakkapati Shada. I'm always on Radha's side, he says, when there are rival groups of gopis. So he says, I'm always on Radha's side. So there are several songs in this regard, in which he makes such statements, and also his deep love for the holy name and his experience we have in this Krishna Naam Dhare Koto Bal. How powerful is the holy name? In this song he describes his personal experience in chanting the holy name, how the holy name carries him from mundane existence up to the lotus feet of Krishna in the spiritual world and reveals to him his eternal form, which is sometimes quoted by followers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur who say that, you know, the holy name reveals everything. But it begins with this sincere regret. And that should be maintained. Srila Prabhupada mentions this in a purport to the narration of Ajamil, that Ajamil, although born in a very pious family and was raised in a very pious life, fell down very badly. The description which we just went through in this song, Amar Jivan Sadapa Pirata, that would fit a jamil directly, like a glove. He fell down very badly, forgot all his pious activities, his Krishna consciousness. But then he was delivered and given a second chance. That book is called A Second Chance. A second chance in this life, because actually every birth, especially every human birth, is a new chance to be Krishna conscious. But after he had been rescued from the clutches of the Yamadutas by the Vishnudutas and not taken immediately back to Godhead, he had to go and prepare himself. But he was very regretful of how he had been so sinful. And Srila Prabhupada, in a purport in this section, I'm paraphrasing, says that all the members of the Krishna Conscious Movement came from a very abominable position. So they should always remember. They should always remember how they've been saved from such a terrible condition. Should always remember. It's not, well, I've been chanting Hare Krishna for 50 years and I guess I must be a Paramahamsa now. We don't see Bhaktivinoda saying like that. He's still so regretful of his sinful life. So it's very pleasing to sing the songs of Bhaktivinoda, the kirtans, glorifying Radha, glorifying the holy name, glorifying Vrindavan pastimes. And it's painful to sing songs like this, Amar Jivan Sada Pape Rata. It's painful, first of all, if we can put aside our false ego and actually accept that it applies to us. And it's even more painful to think that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is thinking of himself like this. It's inconceivable how he, who is completely free of any dirt in his heart, feels himself to be so sinful. And someone like myself, who clearly so many bad things in the heart, and I think, well, it's not so bad. Yeah, it's not so bad. We tend to make light of it. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching us from external perspectives. It seems that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wasn't Krishna conscious in the early part of his life, and that he was a convert to Krishna consciousness. That is his mercy that he showed, that even someone who is away from Krishna consciousness can take it up very seriously and become fully Krishna conscious to the highest level. He demonstrated that by his personal example. If every pure devotee came to this world and they came flying in on a swan airplane with Gandharvas singing and demigods throwing flowers on them, we would think, well, how can I attain to pure devotion? I'm coming, if I'm at all in Krishna consciousness, I'm coming up. These are avatars, a great devotee like Thakur Bhakti, you know, Shaktyaveshavata, he's coming down from the spiritual world. If I'm going up, it means I came up from the hellish worlds. I'm so far away from that. And you may say, well, it's very easy and natural for them to be Krishna conscious, but what about me? I can never come to such a standard. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur shows how one can come to Krishna consciousness even with so much contamination and become fully Krishna conscious. He was born in a family, actually it's a very auspicious family, it's the same family line of that Narottam Das Thakur appeared in. Of course, Narottam didn't have any children, he was a lifelong brahmachari, but it's the same family line, and Narottam, yeah, it comes down past Narottam. So that's very auspicious, but they were not, in the family line that he was raised in, they were not Vaishnavas per se. Of course, being Hindus, they would not be, there would be some worship of or cognizance of Krishna or Vishnu, but they were basically Shaktas, or worshippers of the female energy of the Lord, Durga. And then he had the best education that was available at the time in India, that means British education, the best mundane education, or worldly-oriented education. So, thanks to the machinations of Lord Macaulay, who made an educational program for the Indian youth, that they should be cognizant of the glories of the Western intellectual edifice, and then they would come to understand how useless is their own Indian culture. So Bhaktivinoda was raised like this, and he was a big fan of various English authors. He had no time of day for the Indian system of knowledge, but then he came into the company of Brahmos, which was prominent among the Bhadralok in Calcutta and Bengal in general at that time. Bhadralok means the gentle people, or the sophisticated class. They were mostly people from his own kind of background, English educated, well-to-do. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born in an aristocratic family. So some of them had come together and formed the Brahma Samaj, which was formed by Bengalis who had been educated in the British system and shared disdain for quote-unquote Hinduism, having been trained in such a way. But at the same time, they didn't want to accept Christianity or become fully westernized. So they made the Brahma religion, which is some kind of compromise between Christianity and Hinduism, something like that, very intellectual. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he didn't actually join them full scale, but he was influenced by that. Then he became interested in learning about Lord Chaitanya, the educated class, I'm saying, of course, education, when I say educated class, I'm talking about the Western educated, but in the villages especially, traditional education was going on. That means Sanskrit education. It's unimaginable in the villages of Bengal now, but the Sanskrit education was going on, not in every village, but where there were brahmanas, that would be going on. And local education in Bengali medium. A different kind of, differently oriented, because after all, education is oriented toward occupation. So Bhaktivinod shared with other members of the Bhadralok a great disdain of Vaishnavism in particular. But at the same time, there was a rising current. Oh, it's all complex social interactions. Just like if you wanted to describe in a few words the present cultural situation in America, would you be able to do it? Hardly. There's so many different vectors and ideas, and it's a bubbling melting pot. They say America is the melting pot, but the thing is that different parties are not melting, they're remaining very strong. So it's a very complex situation. So in this same thing in Calcutta and beyond Calcutta, because it wasn't only Calcutta. Shantiniketan, founded by the Rabindranath Tagore, was also an important place of culture, and outside Calcutta, Dakshineshwar, where Ramakrishna he was outside Calcutta, and that he was also influential. So there were so many things going on, but I lost the trail a bit. Yeah, the Vaishnavas, were a very large population, very large percentage of Bengali Hindus. If we talk about Bengali culture, it's a bit of a misnomer, because there are two main divisions in it. I wasn't going to say Shakta and Vaishnava, I was going to say Hindu and Muslim. There are also Christians and Buddhists thrown into the mix. In Bangladesh today, the Christians, Hindus and Muslims have formed they formed an association. They're together to try to protect themselves from the majority, which is Islam, because they all have complaints. Anyway, yeah, it was very cool. Even at that time, Hindu, Muslim, and then they threw in the Brahmas also. They made a new thing, which is more or less merged back into Hinduism nowadays, if there's practically nothing left of Brahmaism. But it wasn't so defined. So who's a Hindu, who's a Muslim? The first national poet of Bangladesh in 1971, he was called from West Bengal, Qazi Nazrul Islam, which you can understand from his name, was a Muslim. But he wrote so many poems about Krishna. So it wasn't so strictly defined. Like I'm saying, it's a real melting pot. It's very complex, the whole cultural scene. And when we say Vaishnava, well, there are so many different types. There were people who were following strictly. But there were also all kinds of different groups. Aul, Baul, Karta, Bhaja, Sain, Darabesh. There's 13 types. Totaram Babaji, he identified 13 types of different upper sampradayas. But there was another, Akhoy Kumar Datta, who he was, like, I guess nowadays you'd call him a sociologist, but he identified 56 different types of Vaishnava groups in Bengal. And actually there are many more even than that. So many different types. And some of them were really horrible and widespread. The Kala Chanjis, they believe in, you offer fish, you have to take prasad, right? So you have to offer your fish with tulsi. And you should offer everything to the guru. So when you get married, the girl is first has to be enjoyed by the guru. Then you can take prasad. So horrible. That sampradaya is still widespread. I asked about them earlier this year when I was in Bangladesh. So they're still going on, but they don't do all those dirty things. They use the same word in Bengali, dirty things. Nongra means dirty. They don't do those things anymore due to public approbation. There were so many bad things going on, but there were people who were practicing strictly, but the majority, it was all mixed up. And most of the Vaishnavas, they weren't engaged in grossly sinful activities. They're, you know, people at home, well, they'd be eating fish, many of them, but they didn't consider it sinful. It's the fruit of the Ganga, fruit of the... You can understand, it's easy to get. You just, Bengal is full of rivers and ponds, and so easy to get fish. You don't have to eat it, but many of them do, up to the present day. So a very bad impression was given of Vaishnavism. There were, it was a common thing that Babaji's living in akras, which means like monasteries, but they would have seva dasis, which means, seva means servant, means maidservants. Mostly widowed women, or women who'd been thrown out of the house for adultery, or for whatever reason. And then there was a whole class called Boshtam, which were the offspring of the Babajis and the Sevadasis. So there were some pretty bad things going on. And they gave a bad name to Vaishnavism. Very bad name. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur became aware of... At the same time, Bengalis, even those who had a bad opinion of Vaishnavism at that time, and Vaishnavism at that time in Bengal, as now, is inextricably mixed or identified with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have, in the course of my travels in West Bengal, come across some Sri Vaishnavas by background, Nimbarka Vaishnavas by background, but they're not native Bengali speakers. They're people from the up country, as they call them. It means from North India, Hindi. It means Marwaris and others who've come to Bengal. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, among others, he became aware. Wait a minute, let's go back a bit. So there was a feeling that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was so good. And Vaishnavism, we see, has become so bad. Well, let's revive the real thing. And it wasn't only him. He was prominent in reviving Vaishnavism. devoid, trying to cut out all the accretions, all the things which shouldn't be there. There are others also, very prominent was a friend of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whose name is better known in Bengal at the present time than that of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and at that time also, Shishir Kumar Ghosh. He's a big figure in 19th century Bengali history. He was newspaper owner and editor, independence-minded. He founded two very influential Bengali newspapers, which ran on for... They were very influential for maybe 100 years. We used to get the daily paper in ISKCON, Calcutta, in English and Bengali. So, we didn't get the... Yeah, we did. But then time to time we'd see the Bengal, just like when we had Rathiacha, we'd get all the newspapers to see the reports like that. And some of them which were anti-religious, because there's a strong anti-religious current in West Bengal, thanks to the communists or whatever, they would give a report that ISKCON brought out a parade which caused traffic jams and caused great inconvenience. That's all they could see. That's all they could report on. But yeah, those papers were going on, this Amrita Bazaar Patrika and Jugantar, these two papers were coming. And up to that time, devotees, they would go to the offices of these papers and they were all very favorable toward us. But then they got different staff and things changed and they closed the whole thing down. But Shishir Kumar Ghosh was also, and there are many others who were very interested in a revival of the true spirit of Vaishnavism. Shishir Kumar Ghosh, one thing, even though entreated by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one thing he couldn't give up was fish eating. When I first went for, supposed to be preaching in Bangladesh, although we had to learn our stuff pretty quickly because we found so many people knew Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat better than we did. And they would quote things to us and you should know what they're talking about. So, it seemed impossible at the time that people would... They'd chant Hare Krishna. It was very easy to get there. They're already chanting Hare Krishna. But to get them to give up fish eating, very, very difficult. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he got that. He describes it took him some time to become free from flesh food. So he showed an example of how we can go from being sinful, in his case superficially sinful, and nowhere near Krishna consciousness, away from Krishna consciousness, and take it up very seriously, and practice, and become fully perfect. So yes, we're all offensive to Krishna. That's why we're in this material world. If we're told point blank that we are offensive to Krishna, it seems, wow, really? What did I do? Well, what didn't we do? In how many lives have we been sinful? Our whole existence in this material world is offensive to Krishna. But we can become purified. We can follow their processes to become purified. The process is Sharanagati, taking shelter of Krishna via the disciplic succession. Following the rules and regulations which help to get us on the right track. We can't expect to go on the right track unless we take some remedial measures. We have this deep sense of swarthapar, this Bhaktivinoda Thakur has used this word, attached to our what we consider to be our own self-interest, separate from Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the pioneer of the program to preach Krishna consciousness in the Western countries. He wasn't the only one who was thinking about it. Others were also talking about it. Others also had the idea that, well, if the British can come here and preach their Christianity, we can also go there. We've got much better things than they have. We can go there and preach also. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur started that by sending books in English to people whose writings he had been enamored by in his youth. Emerson, Thoreau. Do you know these names from your... When you grow up in America, in your education, do you hear these names? So he sent books to them. He sent books to universities in America and Canada and England. And he was praying for help to do this because he felt himself alone up against a huge, just like one fish in a huge ocean of nescience. So he prayed for a ray of Vishnu who came as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There is a biography of him put together by Rupa Vilas Prabhu, and he has his own autobiography. But actually much, much more. There are devotees now studying, investigating the life of Bhaktivinoda. There's much, much more to be brought out. But we can see into his heart. He has very kindly revealed his heart to us in his songs. He's among devotees, he's well known for his songs, but he has many other writings also. His prose writings and Sanskrit verse writings, very, very important contributions to the Vaishnav society. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. You should know when you go out chanting the holy names in the streets, distributing these books, this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur wants. You should know that. Famously, he wrote, when will that day come when the British, Americans, Russians, Prussians, they all come to Mayapur and embrace their Bengali brothers and join with them in chanting together Jai Satchinandana. So that's been made possible by Srila Prabhupada, who introduced this in the Western world. And our prime outreach is by chanting the holy names in public and distributing the books of Srila Prabhupada to the public. Hare Krishna. Srila Thakur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Yeah, your question.
Maharaj, just like this Brahmosis, well, Western scholars and sometimes some orthodox of, I don't know what to call them, but strict stuck-up followers of Hinduism, Vedas.
Strict followers of Hinduism, smartas?
Smartas, yes, smartas. They say that because of the proselytizing nature of the Hare Krishna movement, this is influenced by Christianity.
Proselytizing nature of the Hare Krishna movement, yeah.
it's similar to Christianity.
To Christianity in that respect.
And they say that this is not found, and they claim this to be...
You mean your father said that, and your uncle?
They all say it.
He's not... Well, it all means you're from a smarter background, South Indian smarter. They still have smarters in South India. In Bengal, they're mostly all communists. Yeah, well, it's not according to their definition of what Hinduism should be, but who decides what quote-unquote Hinduism should be anyway? Should I listen to your father or should I listen to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And even the heads of the smartas are the Shankaracharyas, and they appreciate. At least your father would have looked up to the Chandrasekhar Endran, the one of the greatest Shankaracharyas. I mean, he's a real sadhu at Kanchi. But he, whenever he met our ISKCON devotees, he would congratulate them and say, "You're doing a good thing." Because even from their perspective, it's keeping the spirit of quote-unquote Hinduism alive, giving it a boost. The Vishveshwara Tirtha, who was another great figure of the Madhvas, the Pejavaswami, he also was very appreciative of Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON. He said, "So many people are coming to Udupi now, it's all because of ISKCON." The young Hindus growing up in India nowadays, they're different to their parents' and grandparents' generation, in which Hinduism was dying out. Right? The spirit was gone. No one was building temples except the Birlas, because they managed to cook the books in such a way that by building temples, they wouldn't pay taxes, and they'd build the temples with their own companies. Like this, no one was building new temples. All temples were just rotting away, and people weren't going. That was thanks to Nehru and company and the educational policies they implemented. So things have turned around. You can tell your father that Chandrasekhar Endran appreciated. I, maybe 12, 15 years ago, I went to Sringeri and I met the Shankaracharya there. I can't remember his name. I don't know, I can't remember his name.
I know the current one, but I don't remember the previous one.
Oh, did he pass away in the meantime? The current one? It's not the same one.
The current one is...
whatever. I think it's the same one. I don't think he died. I mean, he's
Bharati Tirtha.
Now.
Bharati Tirtha.
Anyway, I spoke with him and he seemed very happy to meet me because we were discussing Bhagavad Gita. He wanted to speak with me in Sanskrit, but I don't know Sanskrit. So he was happy to speak in Hindi. So we were discussing, and I was saying personalism, and he was saying impersonalism, but it was a mock fight because he knows Vedanta, he knows all his stuff very deeply. But he was pleased, it seemed to me to be very pleased, because otherwise he has all these Brahmins come, mostly Brahmins coming, they're all just asking for blessings for their children, and I know what it's like, I get fed up of it too. Blessings, he'd pass their exam, and this and that. So he seemed quite happy to meet me. I also met the Shankaracharya in Puri, who's basically anti-ISKCON, but when I met him, he was very friendly to me. And again, he took time out, we spoke with him.
He came for the previous Vyasa Puja ceremony.
I don't know if there's... I don't know actually if he's so much anti-ISKCON as... he once... Yeah, Govardhan Mutt at Puri. As they want to be seen as the leaders of Hinduism. Like that. And so they say they brought out recently that... well, traditionally they are the leaders, but that's been... Well, they're the leaders, it depends who leads anyway, but who leads what and who and why. But they bring out things time to time, like saying you shouldn't have Rasi Yatra on the wrong day. It should be on the right day. Okay, so we then ISKCON in India follows that, at least they're supposed to. Which makes sense also. There is a certain day which is meant for that. But it is strong in Puri among certain people, still the feeling that only Hindus can enter the temple and Westerners are non-Hindus. They used to stop Indian ISKCON devotees also because they're contaminated by association. They used to stop that. Of course, Muslims can go because you don't know who's a Hindu and who's a Muslim. Our landlord in Dhaka, a Muslim, told me he'd been inside the Puri temple. But the present generation... I've in Puri, they're very appreciative. I see that. Mostly, they're very, very appreciative of ISKCON and ISKCON devotees. Gauriya Math also, mostly the younger people. They're very appreciative, very respectful. That's at least according to my perception, people I meet. So things can change. And probably in your generation, they don't feel like that. They're not even interested in being smarters that much. They're here in America making money. That's it. That's reality for them. Hare Krishna.
Guru Maharaj, how do you get out of this mentality that we take shelter of Krishna only when we're suffering?
How do you get out of the mentality of only taking shelter of Krishna when we're suffering? Well, we may have to suffer a lot. If we don't get out of that mentality, then Krishna will send us more and more suffering. When we realize that everything without Krishna is suffering, and then we'll fully take shelter of Krishna. But actually this material world is characterized by struggle. You see Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life, it's a life of struggle in so many ways. Srila Prabhupada, up to the last moment, struggle, even when he was lying on his bed. Shortly before he left this world, he was making sure the devotees had his will and all the everything together, because he was afraid that people would, by trickery, take over the properties of ISKCON. He could hardly talk, but he was making sure about that. After some men came to visit him and said, who will run the organization after you pass away? And Prabhupada saw, they're thinking how they can take over. I recently discovered, or was told, that this BBTI, I always wondered how the BBTI came about. I was told that because Srila Prabhupada's eldest son, Mathura Mohan, had made a court case saying that ISKCON, actually all the properties belong to him because he's the son of the founder. So they made the BBTI so that he couldn't make the court case against BBT and claim all the properties, all the property of BBT. It was for that purpose it was founded, and the copyrights were transferred and everything. That's it in brief.
Maharaja, it seems like it's a big jump from Bhaktivinoda Thakur associating with the Brahmos and then becoming so interested in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How did it happen?
He had a flash on the road to Damascus that Saul, in the Bible we found Saul was a Roman citizen, Jewish by background I believe, who was going to persecute the Christians. This is shortly after Jesus passed away. On the road to Damascus, he got zapped by God and became a Christian and became Paul. So we often see that in the lives of great devotees, that they appear in the early part of their life, they may appear to be materialistic, but when they take up Krishna consciousness, they go really fast, which means that the non-Krishna consciousness was just something external for some purpose. Rupa Sanatan also. Hare Krishna. So we should do the Pushpanjali.
Salinas Bhakti Vikas Maharaj Ki
Jai.